Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
He is so worthy. My message this morning on this great resurrection Easter Sunday morning is this: Jesus Christ reigns. He reigns from the beginning of time, will reign until the end of time, which is eternity. He reigns. There are many changing factors in life today, but there's only one and only one and only one absolutely unchanging factor, and that is eternity is a certainty. God is the one who makes the determination who will enter into heaven. Humanity's failure and humanity's future rest in the forgiveness of Almighty God. And Jesus Christ has come to us not as a new entity or a new God. He's from creation, the beginning of time, to now. And he will continue from now into eternity, which is the end of time. I want to take you through the Word of God today in a very different way, because the Bible tells us that each one will give an account to God regardless of who they are: the king, the priest, the commoner, the worker, the children. Everyone will give an account to God. And the big question today is this: who is Jesus to you? Because my Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. And anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. We're going to go into decades, or at least seasons, where people are going to make new determinations of how you can reach God. We're trying to reach the moon, we're trying to get to the stars, we're trying to get everywhere, and there will be new renditions of how to make one acceptable to God. And especially with AI now dominating every facet of life, there's going to come a time when AI will manipulate even the Word of God to suit the evil intentions of the heart of humanity. I recently told my entire church, buy Bibles, buy it now. In fact, I brought in the Bible bookstore, and we sold out that day, because I've said, this in print still records the entirety of the Word of God. But very soon, AI will give its own rendition, determination, perspective that follows the lifestyle of those who do not want to honor the God who reigns. Christ did not just come out of nowhere when he came as an incarnate baby in Mary's womb. He was not created as other humans were created. He was not created by human hands. Christ was already God, but God was so burdened over the sins of us humans that they, the Trinity, which I will explain, made the decision to make us right again by sending sacrificially the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a new story. Christ came from the throne room of heaven to fulfill a purpose, and the purpose goes back to the original plan of the Godhead, And that was to embrace us so that we would walk and talk with God. We would enjoy the beauties of heaven. We will see the powerful, amazing, indescribable life that God created us for, which was broken when Adam decided to listen to a serpent rather than be obedient to the voice of God. What I love about God, unlike any other, is that he gives you a choice. Humanity is always given the choice to choose God. There are times and others where they may say, you don't have a choice, this is what you believe. But God says, I created you, I'm there for you, I will live in you, but I give you the choice to believe that I did this. So the Godhead, known as the Trinity, which means the divine coexistent deities, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have been from the beginning of time and will be until the end of time. But we celebrate on this Sunday and in this season the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is not a new story. Jesus Christ was not a newborn. Jesus Christ is not a new entity. Jesus Christ existed from creation and is seen in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus Christ relates to us as individuals, but he also relates to us collectively in this great arena, online, wherever you are. He relates to you as Savior, should you choose him as your Lord, guide, help, keeper, blesser, and the one you're preparing to live with. Friends, everyone in the world needs a Savior. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. We all need a Savior. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation proves this. Whether it was Abraham receiving God's blessings, or Moses standing before Pharaoh, and then Moses crossing the Red Sea in faith, or David, a shepherd, fighting lions and bears, but knowing that God would be with him. Then he fought enemy armies because God was there. Or Daniel being put in a lion's den for his faith, but the lion's mouth was shut. Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three thrown in the fire when God himself showed up in that fire, just as Jesus shows up today. Every era from creation till now, Jesus shows up. So I'm going to take you through the Word of God today. And I am going to encourage you worldwide, buy a Bible in print, because I'll tell you, technology can manipulate technology. Anyone hearing me? Oh, that deserved an applause. So here we go. I'm going to move through this. My intention is not to erase the message, but is to establish something that has been missing in society, that Jesus exists from Genesis right through to Revelation. There are young kids growing up thinking Jesus is just an Easter season God. I want you to know, in the book of Genesis, he shows up. The law of God, the Pentateuch, the five books, and other books of the law, it establishes Christ. In Genesis, he's with the Godhead in creation. The creator of all humanity activated who we are today. Christ was there. Genesis 2:7, the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into man's nostril. That breath was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the breath of life today. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb, protecting people from death by the death angel. Because of their sins, they had to be wiped out. But the Bible says God, in his mercy, showed up, and the Lord struck down. He struck down the Egyptians, but every Israelite who believed in God was spared. Why did he spare them? It's the same way he's sparing us right now. The same Lord protects us from the death angel that comes at times to take us out. In Leviticus, he's the sacrifice for sins. Christ represents the scapegoat. And we see it in the New Testament when they hung him on the cross. That was the scapegoat taking all of the sins of the world on himself. Same Christ in the Old Testament showed up on that cross. In Numbers, he's the serpent lifted up in the wilderness, declaring healing to the nations, even leaders who sinned, causing global destruction. Christ showed up in that book of Numbers, and he says, I'm the same healer today because of my blood as I was when they put that serpent on the cross. In Deuteronomy, it's the place, he is the place of refuge. God is my help, my present help. In Deuteronomy, the Godhead said, let there be a place where those who have sinned unintentionally, created grave errors, or took someone's life, where they can run to that place for escape, and I will protect them there. There are times you've done things in your life, but God is the refuge that you have ran to, and he has protected you in safety in that place. That is the law where God, where Christ showed up in history. In the books of history, Christ shows up again. In Joshua, he's the scarlet thread, a symbol of hope, promised to those who will pray for their families, love their families, and plead for mercy for their families, just as Rahab did. Christ is the thread of hope for salvation today, as he was then. In Judges, he's the perfect judge. Many judges ruled, but they ruled in pride and arrogance. But when Christ Jesus showed up, he came in simplicity and humility to say, the other judges lorded it over you, but I'm here to heap my love upon you. In Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. When everyone was stripped, when the folks lost everything, Ruth and her daughters, there was no one to restore them. But God had put a kinsman redeemer saying, I'll turn it all around. Even what death took, I'll restore it back to you. And that is the same way Jesus Christ today is giving us a new spiritual genealogy. What he did for Ruth, he'll do for everyone. When the devil has taken everything, he says, I can turn it around and give you back more than you ever dreamt. In 1 Samuel, he's the trusted prophet. There's no falsehood in him, no lies, but a sincerity, a divine God who can be trusted at all times. Nobody else can be trusted at all times. Can I tell you, there are prophets running around, prophets are lying, but my Jesus, when he prophesies, everything will come to pass. In 2 Samuel, he's the true son of David, the righteous king and ruler who demonstrated his awesome power. When David showed up on the throne, he was a little shepherd boy. But because Jesus shows up, even in your simplicity and what you don't have, you're able to take on kings and kingdoms, armies and everyone, because Jesus shows up again. In 1 Kings, he's the promise keeper, granting wisdom, honor, prosperity and power. Everything people seek now, Christ offers. People are running to every type of guru to get wisdom. Let me tell you, Proverbs says, wisdom comes from the word of God. And when Jesus showed up in Kings, he granted David so much wisdom. He granted Solomon so much wisdom that not even Elon Musk can touch it, what God has done. Somebody send that to him. In 2 Kings, he's the jealous God watching over his people, even in the barrenness of their lives. Oh, there was a time in those stories. You saw the widow that had nothing. You saw the woman that lost her son. But it was the Spirit of the living Christ who showed up and said, dead boy, get up. It was the Spirit of the living God that showed up and said, take the oil and watch it pour out more. Just like he shows up today as Jehovah Jireh, when you've got nothing, same Jesus shows up. I don't serve a new God. I serve a God from creation to present, and he will be there in the future. In 1 Chronicles, he is our reigning king. Unlike human kings, Christ presents the alternative. He ruled then, and he still rules now. But many ruling as kings now rule with iron fists and hate for people. But the ruling king that showed up in Chronicles, he came to rule in love, in compassion, and to give mercy to all who are in need. That's who my Jesus is. In 2 Chronicles, he's our deliverer. Regardless of the threats of the devil's army, the enemy's army, God is able to deliver miraculously. I want you to know we're going to have threats on every side. We're in a city right here in Pickering. Our mayor works hard to build up this city, but I always wake up going, God, there's a nuclear plant. And if anybody ever does anything, I want to go in one shot because I'm ready for heaven. I'm not going with no half arm or piece of leg. I'm ready to go one shot. That's why I'm going to prepare my life. But I want you to know in Chronicle, you don't live in fear. When Jesus showed up, there was thousands and thousands of army that was against Israel. And God said to the leader, to the king of that day, stand still and see the deliverance of who? Some other king? Stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. I want you to know, no matter what's going on around our city, get ready to stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord, because God is able to take care of us, his people. Those who trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion and shall never be shaken. I don't live in fear. I live in faith because I serve a mighty God. In Ezra, he's the faithful scribe, recording our history, to which we'll stand in heaven when we stand before God. There are people getting away with atrocities, and our hearts break. Can I tell you, heaven has a book. Ezra had a book, and he recorded everything. And God has a book. Some things we wish he would take care of right now, but he says, don't you worry, everyone. You can be the trillionaire of the trillionaire of the trillionaire. Doesn't matter if you only got $10 in your bank book or 10 trillion, because when you stand before the great and awesome king, all that matters is what's in his book. Some of you spend your life worrying about your bank book. Don't worry about your bank book, worry about his book. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the broken walls. There's rubble in our lives, charred and broken things that have stripped you of your strength, taking your beauty and turning it into ashes. But when Christ showed up in Nehemiah, Nehemiah was just a humble servant. It was not him that had the power, but when the power of Christ touched his life, he was able to rebuild the broken things, even taking the charred things and turn it around into beauty. No matter how charred your life is, there's no one who can fix it. Like who? Like Jesus. In Esther, he's the person at the gate of your life praying for you. When you don't know he's there, he's right there. Esther was inside the palace. She didn't know there was a Mordecai, an uncle at the gate interceding. But that uncle protected her life. You don't know who's at the gate interceding for you. But I can tell you, when you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he says, I sit at the right hand of the Father. Father making intercession for you night and day. He showed up in Esther, and he's showing up in your life today. The poetic dialogues of God reveals Christ. In Job, he's the Redeemer who lives today. When all hell comes against you, stripping you down to nothing, Christ is still there to help you. Job 19 says, I know my Redeemer lives. He will stand upon the earth at last. Job in the Old Testament knew Jesus can show up even when everything seems gone. Death is not the end of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Death is the beginning of a better life. It unwraps the beginning of a glorious life filled with beauty and awe and splendor and continuous worship. There are so many people struggling. When they get to the end, they so fear death that it will take them. But when you're a child of God, you don't sit there struggling, fighting, looking I don't even have a descriptive word. We pastors go in and we see some and we're like, wasn't ready for heaven, because you can tell by the way they look. But when you walk in the room with a saint who knew they were going home, they look like they flew out of their body. Somebody who knows what I'm talking about, say amen today. You don't fear death, fear God, and God will take you through life and death. In Psalms, he's the Lord who is. Oh, come on, everybody ought to know this one. In Psalms, he's the Lord who is. Oh, no. He's the Lord who is my. He's the Lord who is my. What does a shepherd do? Takes care of the sheep. Same Jesus is taking care of us through all the situations of our life. He shows up in Psalms, and he's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd is still here today, helping, leading, guiding, restoring, comforting. He's with you. In Proverbs, he's our wisdom. Oh, the world is consumed with foolishness and senselessness. Everybody's got some book, some podcast, something to sell you, and everyone's got some word they got out of their little finite mind that they took from somebody else. But I got news for you. Do you want wisdom? Oh, he is the wisdom. The wisdom of God cannot be touched, because every day you wake up, he shows you a new way for a new day. That's who my Jesus is. In Ecclesiastes, he's our true satisfaction. There's a season for everything. Seasons require right thinking. And the fear of God is the beginning of life. Material things will not satisfy. Solomon was the wisest man on earth. He does the Sons of Solomon. He does Ecclesiastes. He says at the end of it all, it's foolishness if you're not in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your millions, get your billions. Do you see what's going on in the world today? Everyone's killing people to make another trillion. But what are they going to do with it? Wrap yourself in gold and bury yourself. Another generation will dig up your gold casket and they will chip it down and sell it. And that will not get you to heaven. Take all the billions and trillions you can and punish people who are hurting, hungry, and broken. But in the name of Jesus, those people still have an opportunity to make it to heaven. And trillionaires, you won't get there unless you honor God. I love the equality of God. Don't you love the equality of God? Worldwide audience, I'm not preaching politics. I'm preaching truth. Because God's an equalizer. Somebody. Songs of Solomon, he's the beautiful bridegroom. Christ demonstrates what true love is like. You know the song? What the world. Come on now. They sang that because that was truth and still true. What the world needs is love. But isn't love here? Love is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're looking for love, don't look in all the places you're looking. Look to Jesus. The one who showed love in the Songs of Solomon says, I will marry you like a bride. I'll marry you like a bridegroom. because I will love you eternally. That's my Jesus. The prophecies in fulfillment. These were the books that presented Christ. All the others demonstrated and revealed, but the prophecies fulfilled that Christ was already there. In Isaiah, he's the suffering servant, crushed and crucified for our sins, prophesied and fulfilled as predicted. Isaiah said he'll be bruised. He'll be chastised. When he hung on the cross, they had to say the prophet Isaiah saw him back then, and he's here right now. Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch standing in defiance to sin and ungodliness, showing humanity their depravity. Nowadays, people don't want to hear that they're sinners. I'm a good person. Good people are good people, but good doesn't get you to heaven. It takes a confession of sin, because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we lie to ourselves, I'm perfect. No one is perfect but Jesus Christ. So we all sin. We all must repent of our sins. In Lamentation, he's the weeping prophet. What does the weeping prophet do? He's crying for you like no one else will. Well, who's sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding, shedding tears of pain as he watches the resistance to him and his word when our lives are so broken and in need of a Savior? In Ezekiel, he's the Son of Man invoking holy fire to counteract society's wickedness and to purge society of his sin. In these days we're watching, everything is changing, and the more it changes, the more defiant people come. But the word says, when Christ was on earth, when Christ was prophesied, he says, when you see these things, look up, your redemption, your time is coming to an end. In Daniel, who is he? He's the fourth man in the fire. Whatever fire you're going through, when you're in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't walk in that fire alone. He walks with you. He's not going to baby your sin or dress up your sin, but he's going to show up like a compassionate father. And when the devil says, I got you, he goes, uh-uh, I'm going to blow out that fire because I'm right there with you. And then in Hosea, he's the faithful husband. Never giving up on you, even when you fail the Lord numerous times. That's the faithful husband. In Joel, he's the one who restores, promising a new hope and a new future, establishing hope. What I love about Joel, when Christ shows up in the book of Joel, fulfilling it, he says, in the last days, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. The young people will come alive. That's what I love. Jesus was there. He was saying the young, the ones that we see ostracized, the ones we see so depressed and distressed, the ones that don't know how to smile, even our young black boys that are disappearing into gangs where they're stealing them. He says, I'm going to renew them and restore them and bring them back because I want a young generation to lead the next generation. In Amos, he's the burden bearer. Have you ever been where your burden's so heavy you can't carry it no more? You can't sleep and the pills don't work? He says, I'm the burden bearer. What does he say in the New Testament? Cast your burden on me. Cast your care. Isn't that the same Jesus that was in Amos? In Obadiah, he's the mighty judge. Some things will not be judged here on earth, but it will not miss being judged in heaven. I need to say this to you. Let me ask you this. Whether you're saved, not saved, visiting or not, do you think God is blind? Do you think God is blind? Do you think God is deaf? So that means he sees and he hears. Some things will be judged at the end of time. And then in Jonah, he's the foreign missionary. watching over all those neglected by humanity, granting mercy and grace to the needy. He's watching over those neglected by humanity. Can I pause for a moment, Father? Even now we pray for the country of Cuba. While, oh God, they've been pressed against the wall, while they're neglected by humanity. From years we've had missionaries in there while they can't get out or they can't even get back in. Oh God, you're the foreign missionary that showed up in Jonah when nobody wanted to go. Make a way for them in those nations of persecution in the name of Jesus. In Micah, he's our peace, bestowing the peace that the world lacks. Oh, there's going to be some who say they have peace, 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 and then there's sudden destruction. But God says, I promise peace because Christ Jesus is peace. In Nahum, he's the avenger, the one God's wrath will wipe the slate clean. So those who trust in the Lord, you can know there's coming a day God will fix it. In Habakkuk, he's the Lord in the holy temple, reminding you, you are going to make the right choice today. Habakkuk says, though the fig tree does not blossom, and though there's no grape, no fruit on the vine, yet my God is with you. Can I tell you, though you can't see how God's going to work it out, he says you're going to have to trust me. In Zephaniah, he's the Lord mighty to save. When we call you to this altar to respond to that message of salvation today, it's because Zephaniah says, don't you know God is able to turn your life around? Nobody else can. What matters is your acceptance. In Haggai, he's the Lord of hosts. You don't need bodyguards. You don't need multitudes of everything. What you need is, God, let your warring angel be round about me and protect me night and day. Oh, nobody can protect like Jesus. In Zechariah, Jesus is the fountain of cleansing. He says, you don't need to fear your sins of the past because I will cleanse you from all your sin and all your unrighteousness, but you have to open your mouth and declare, Jesus be my Lord and Savior. And then in Malachi, he's the Son of Righteousness. Today, would you let him shine his light on you? Because that's what he does. He does. Jesus in Malachi says, I'm the light. And in John 8, he says, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you have the light that leads to life. Jesus is from Genesis to Revelation. And because I'm running out of time, and you'll buy your own Bible, get it online quickly before AI fixes it. Let me just race this one through as we get prepared for you to respond to this great call. Jesus Christ fulfilled his earthly mission in the New Testament. And so I showed you all the fulfillment, but now it was demonstrated in the New Testament. In Matthew, he's the promised Messiah. In Mark, he's the faithful servant. In Luke, he's a friend of sinners. In John, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he's the Spirit-empowered, ascended Lord that left the Holy Spirit. In Romans, he's the justified against sinfulness. In 1 Corinthians, he is our righteousness. In 2 Corinthians, he is the God of all comfort. In Galatians, he redeems from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's the head of the church. In Philippians, he's the all-sufficient God. In Colossians, he's the fullness of God. In 1 Thessalonians, he's the Lord coming down from heaven. In 2 Thessalonians, he's the judge coming with blazing fire. In 1 Timothy, he's our mediator. In 2 Timothy, he's our master. In Titus, he is our blessed hope. In Philemon, he's the one who paid for our debt that we couldn't pay. In Hebrews, he is our great high priest. In James, he's the judge standing at the door. In 1 Peter, he's the chief shepherd. In 2 Peter, he's the morning star. In 1 John, he's the word of life. In 2 John, he's the Son of the Father. In 3 John, he is truth, and there is no other truth but him. In Jude, he's the Lord coming with countless thousands of angels. In Revelation, he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There's nobody like my Jesus. That's why I worship him. from the beginning of time until the end of time, eternity. Jesus has been here and Jesus has not left.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.